This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is Noah Gunderson. This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to welcome to our studio Noah Gunderson. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I have a little bit of a cold, so my voice sounds extra radio sexy today.
Oh, excellent.
Came prepared.
Very nice, very nice. Noah Gunderson Music is the name of Noah's website, and White Noise is his most recent recording. He has several releases under his own name, as well as with the band Courage and several others can think of as well. In addition to that, also has had his music featured on a number of film and television projects. Listeners could very well be familiar with his music through those avenues as well. Currently in the Seattle area, and originally from Olympia. And yes, I know those are two different towns. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Olympia. Let's tell me about Olympia, Washington. And I know, and then you also grew up in Centralia a little bit more, right?
Yeah. Well, Olympia famously had the Olympia Beer Brewery for many years, and they had an air horn that would signal like the beginning and ends of lunch. And that's like I have a very strong memory of that as a kid. My grandpa owned like a dentist office down the street, and we would be like doing odds and ends around there, and the sound of the brewery in the mornings. But Olympia is a beautiful, quiet Pacific Northwest town right on the water. It hasn't really changed much since I was born there 28 years ago, and I still go down pretty frequently. I think it's actually a place I could see myself ending up in again.
Really?
As Seattle's changing quite a bit. And as I'm getting a little bit older, the allure of being in the city is lessened. I find it places like Olympia or Bellingham are easier to just, a lot of the superfluous stuff seems to fall away.
Now, Centralia, I know a little bit about Centralia, mm-hmm. but let's go there a little bit, because that's kind of where things started to form for you just growing up and also as a musician.
So Centralia is, like many interstate towns, this kind of crummy little town that used to have a kind of a cultural identity that got lost as, I guess, with like different forms of like industrial change. But it was a railroad town, farming town, and now it's mostly just strip malls and fast food chains and a high population of conservative Christians and meth addicts. It was actually one of the highest per capita meth epicenters in the country for a long time.
Dear. Wow.
So it's kind of a sad little town. But I grew up there. My folks had a house kind of outside of the city on 5 acres and a cow, and it was a little kind of pastoral. And I grew up I was homeschooled, so I spent a lot of time kind of alone. And I would just sit in my room and write songs every day. And then I started playing at some coffee shops around the area, and then decided that that was something I wanted to pursue. So I left home and started touring.
Woman, I can't please you. I will only leave you. Sure as the night follows day. If you start to wonder, if you spill a mind, well, honey, you should run the other way. Hold on, I'm coming home. You're giving me a bad desire, giving me a burning fire in my bones. Here is wrong. So hold on.
leave you alone.
A phrase that comes up a couple times in doing some research on you and your work, homeschooled in a very religious and loving household, and this is what is interesting to me, and I want your opinion of. I've seen somewhere, instead of saying and, it says a very religious but loving household, which is a very interesting difference in how people maybe have preconceptions as to what that means.
Yeah. So, I mean, to address that to begin with, it's, you know, you have an idea of yourself. Right, and an idea of how you want to be presented or attempt to present yourself, but it is funny the things that the internet or press gravitates towards that you find, that personally I find, like, you know, that's the first thing that pops up on my bio. Like, I think the reason conservative but loving thing is that I make an attempt every time this comes up to not vilify my parents, because I care about them quite a bit, and they've been incredibly supportive of me and my family playing music ever since I was pretty young. But at the same time, I think, you know, their value system when I was growing up was something that now I might have no
doesn't resonate
with me. Yeah.
And yet somehow it shaped how you became and how you how you became a musician. And if I'm not mistaken, one of the ways was through the Bob Dylan album that I'm doing, spacing the name of the
title. Mercy.
Yeah, right. So though it was restricted, you were still given kind of an inroad to something different, because a lot of the other stuff that you were hearing in the household was specifically in a spiritual.
I mean, I think I was gravitating towards anything that made me feel something. I think there was something in me that wanted to express myself and was drawn towards good music. And that Dylan record is a great record.
No, I wanted to talk to you about songwriting and at what point you thought, oh, wait a minute, maybe I'm onto something here. Maybe this has got a little more to it than not.
I still remember the validation I felt having written my very first song when I was like 13. Music is such a powerful communicative tool. Being able to have an outlet that felt safe, that felt like it was drawing something out of me, and it was really therapeutic. So for me, it was this very cathartic form of, like, being able to say these things that I was going through as a, you know, hormonal young kid who spent a lot of time on his own and didn't necessarily have peers to relate to or things. And so, you know, once I finished that first song, I was hooked.
I drew the line and crossed it. All I want is something to love.
This is John Floridas. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm speaking today with Noah Gunderson. Noah, let's talk about the most recent recording, White Noise. There's all kinds of fascinating quotes and stuff about this project from your press kit. The fluorescent glow of queer divine satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember the context to put that in, but it was relating to the project.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to ask you about that.
So I asked my brother-in-law to write the bio for the album. He went out for, you know, a few months and came back and said, I don't want to write a bio. I want to write a series of vignettes describing the moods and pieces of the album. The way I approached this record was far more abstract and like mood-centric, more mm-hmm. so than being like hyper-literal or confessional as much of the previous work had been. But then he did write this bio that's not really about me. It's great. It's about the, you know, the album as a whole and as an arc and the themes that it's trying to present. There's a quote from Martha Graham.
Oh, that's
who said that an artist is never pleased. There is only a queer divine dissatisfaction. Mm-hmm. And that is what she says, that's what keeps us driving forward, which was a piece of encouragement that I heard from Josh Ritter, actually.
Mm. He's been on the program as well.
Yeah, we played a show together and I was pretty bummed out afterwards because I had felt like I just wasn't, it didn't feel true to me anymore, the songs I was playing.
Oh, that was a specific show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've tried not to like name drop him or anything through the press process, but that's who told me that. And that was very encouraging because I think as a writer, you know, we all hit moments where we're dissatisfied with what we're making. And I think there's a tendency to think, have I failed? Am I, you know, is this it? But instead of, I think, being defeated by that feeling, that quote from Martha Graham is saying that this is something that we all experience and this is what keeps us driving forward.
No, I was going to ask you about another concept that I came across, which now I'm realizing perhaps your brother-in-law brought this one to the table as well. Spiritual surrender.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about that.
Mm.
Are you cursing your brother-in-law at the moment?
No, no. I'm trying to remember the context. Oh, he uses that in the beginning of the bio piece, that everyone can engage in spiritual surrender in the age of social media, basically. So this record at one point was originally going to be a concept record around entertainment and identity and, you know, our self-obsession and what it means and what we're looking for, how that is shaped essentially like this kind of new, it's this religious experience now where we're constantly sharing through social media or, you know, particularly social media. But then how, like, we're creating our own entertainment constantly. Mm-hmm. And I think, unfortunately, it creates an amount of noise, which is the kind of where the album title came from. And there's an expectation to be entertained constantly.
I can't help but think of something as I sit here talking to a songwriter from the Seattle area, talking about creating a constant need to have entertainment created. And thinking of here we are now entertained on mm-hmm. my tune, which you've done a cover version of, Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yeah, which is such a powerful song that I think the reason I wanted to do a cover of it was because it's such a lyrically heavy song. And I know, like, I think Kurt Cobain said he just, like, wrote it in, like, 5 minutes on, like, and it meant nothing or something. But
sure,
that was very apropos of his approach. Yeah, it's really heavy song lyrically that doesn't always translate, I think, in their version.
Load up on guns, bring your friends, it's fun to lose and to pretend. She's overboard, self-assured. Oh no, I know a dirty word. Hello, 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 hello. With the lights out, it's less dangerous. Here we are now, entertain us. I feel stupid and contagious. Here we are now, entertain us. Yeah. Albino. And I forget just what I taste. Oh yeah, I guess it makes me smile. I find it hard, it's hard to find. Oh well, whatever, never mind.
Noah, again, sitting across from you here at this time, this moment, and as we record this in getting towards late January 2018, I'm looking at your touring schedule and I see dates all over the world. Would you have ever thought growing up in Centralia that your journey would be one that would take your music to other countries and different places in the world?
That was always the hope. That was always the dream. But since the very beginning, the priority was to be able to just play music. And It's easy to get caught up in the comparison game, because you see your friends, you see peers, you see, you know, rising maybe at a pace that's faster than me or slower or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And
you do the comparison thing a lot. At the end of the day, like I get to have this amazing cathartic therapeutic thing, which is very much for me. I'm lucky enough that it's also meaningful for others. They want to come and listen to it and pay me. You know, that's a thing that I have to constantly remind myself of and take gratitude from.
White Noise is the most recent release from Noah Gunderson. NoahGundersonMusic.com. And I should tell listeners that Gunderson is G-U-N-D-E-R-S-E-N.
Thank you.
Noah Gunderson. Thanks so much for making time to come by and talk shop with us here on Musician Spotlight, especially when you're battling a cold and got your Barry White voice on. And hope we get a chance to talk again down the road.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Noah Gunderson. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us online at Facebook as well as Twitter. Our program is available as a podcast from those websites as well as through iTunes. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.